This is lesson one on the second section, and it's Apologetics 15. It's the second section of a 2,000-year prophecy by Jesus. Your cover shows the fig tree producing leaves. That will be better understood as we get further along in this particular section. So let us go right now to page 1. In section 1, we saw four different questions that Jesus was asked. The greatest concern to the ones questioning Jesus was the duration of the thing, particularly with a view as to the complete finish of the age. The records of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very often nearly the same, with one writer occasionally giving a very important addition. In this section, Matthew will continue to be indicated by the hand, and I suggest you continue to mark them blue. Mark, you continue to mark pink, it's indicated by the black circle, and Luke for the black triangle, continue to mark them green. Now, this will make those particular scriptures stand out. Now, it will be necessary for you to mark important phrases or sentences that you want to mark with some other color. You still have a yellow left for some of this, and you can mark that yellow, but you can also take a ink crayon and a letter alongside in your margin or make arrows and that kind of a thing to identify. I'm very convinced that unless you mark this kind of a study, you are going to lose half of what you learned the first time even. It's very important to mark it up, and my book is thoroughly marked before I even start to deliver this message to you, because as I go over it, I see new things almost every time, and I hope you will too, and I hope you won't stop by just reading it through once. I want to try and get all of this put together for you so you can see this is one of the most fantastic prophecies in Scripture, and I think it has been done a great injustice by people trying to pull it to pieces. Now, the synoptic people who put the Gospels in what they thought was a synoptic arrangement didn't do this, and I think they were right. Now, let's go further. The questions resulted from Jesus' statement that the temple would be overthrown, and not simply overthrown, but that it would remain overthrown for some days. This period has now been over 1900 years. You remember I showed you two parts to that first question, really. Jesus then gave warning that they should not be led astray by persons who said that Jesus was the Messiah. False teachers and all kinds of controversy began almost at once. Now, I pointed this out back there. You'd have to go back and review. I can't expand much here at all. But the point is that Jesus warned them that it was going to start right away and was going to go on. Here, Luke added an important fact. Many would say the season has drawn near and is still near. In other words, the season of harvest, the end of the age. I believe this is what is expressed today by Jesus can come at any moment. Now, there's a phrase you may want to well mark. This idea was not really taught till 1830, and there isn't very much that they can do to get rid of that kind of a date, because that's in the encyclopedia as rather fixed in history. And I love history. Jesus then pictured a gradual worsening pattern. Wars and reports of wars, people in general become alarmed, more wars, and then instability, causing people to be terrified, then world wars. All of these things began the birth pains of the restoration of Israel. And that's very important, and I showed you the word birth pains translated in the King James by sorrows. Now, that's not right. The American Standard corrected it to travail. The New King James left it sorrows, and that isn't right at all. That leads you to a wrong conclusion. Continue. Next, Jesus went back to the beginning when those questioning him would themselves face persecution. He took them all that way. Into the midst of this warning, Jesus explained that the Gentiles were to hear the good news first, before the finish. Jesus explained the strife that would and did develop among the Jews because of his name. Then, lest there be any doubt, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, top of page 2, recorded Jesus' statement that the Jews would be hated by all, continuously, without interruption. This fact has been confirmed by Jewish history. There's no way you can disprove that at all. That's fact. Next, Jesus told them the, quote, good news of the kingdom will be preached in the total inhabited earth with reference to a testimony to all the Gentiles, and then the finish will be present. How long will this finishing period last before the complete finish of the age? That's an interesting question. Again, Jesus returns to a question of the overthrow of the temple in connection with the desolation of Jerusalem. Our first section brought us to Matthew 24:15, Mark 13:14, and Luke 21:20. Those who teach a pre-tribulation rapture head the Matthew and Mark account, the Great Tribulation, the Apologetics 8, and try to separate these from the record of Luke. Before showing this confusion, let us proceed with the three records parallel and know how well they remain interlocked. Note how long, well they remain interlocked. Now, what I'm saying is this. Let's go ahead with the marking of your blue, pink, and green. Let's read them and see how closely they are related. Now, when I say parallel, I mean they're all moving along exactly together, verse by verse, in each of these account, which to me is very, very conclusive that they belong together. It would be very odd that exactly the same things are said by two different occasions and flights. Not that they couldn't be, but you'll see why they couldn't be shortly. You'll see. All right, Matthew 24:15. Therefore, at the time that you might see the abomination of the desolation, namely the one having been said through Daniel the prophet, having stood and still standing in a holy place, not the holy place. That's a big difference. Let the one reading be understanding. Now, this is important because here's where they make the difference, saying that the abomination of the desolation is the Antichrist. Well, nothing says that in Scripture. That's pure imagination. And if you have a wild enough imagination, you can do anything with Scripture, and that's what's happening today. And you don't put an article in front of holy place, a holy place. Jerusalem was holy, totally holy. Mark 13:14a. But at the time that you might see the abomination of the desolation, namely the one having been said by Daniel the prophet, having stood and still standing wherein which it is not essential, let the one reading be understanding. Same thing. Luke. But at the time that you might see the Jerusalem being encircled by camps. You know, Luke keeps coming in its parallel, keeps coming in with important factors to keep you, shall I say, associated with these events so that you don't get lost. And this, to me, is the interesting factor. Without Luke, you don't have the connecting links. Then you come to know, get that verb, come to know, that her desolation has gone near and is still near. So what this is talking about is the desolation of Jerusalem. And this abomination that's coming into their territory that's going to desolate Jerusalem is the question. Now, Matthew 24:16. Then let the ones in Judea be fleeing over the mountains. Mark 13:14b. Then let the ones in the Judea be fleeing into the mountains. There is a difference in the preposition, that's all. Luke 21:21a. Then let the ones in the Judea be fleeing into the mountain. Same preposition. And let the ones in the midst of her, Jerusalem, be emigrating. Now there again, you immediately get this little piece going in that's going to keep you tied so that you won't get too far afield. He quotes exactly the same as the others, but adds, let the ones in the midst of her, that is Jerusalem, that her is feminine, goes with Jerusalem, be emigrating, get out. All right, Tapa 3. These passages certainly seem to be very parallel. Before commenting, let us read and compare further. Matthew, let not the one on the housetop be descending to remove the things out of his house. Mark 13:15, but let not the one on the housetop descend into the house. A little different, see that? Nor let him go in to remove something out of his house. Either one, see? Luke 21:21a, gives instructions to leave the city of Jerusalem, while Matthew 24 and Mark 13 tell how. These two records now again combine with Luke in regards to those in the field. Matthew says, and let not the one in the field turn around behind to remove his garment. Mark 13, let not the one being into the field turn around with reference to the things behind to remove his garment. Now, Luke 21 says, let not the ones, and it uses a different word, the cultivated field. See, they're out there farming, being going in into her, Jerusalem, because these are days of an avenging, all the things having been and still written to be fulfilled. In other words, we're coming up on the punishment of Israel for their total disobedience to God, and that's what he's warning them about. That Jerusalem is to be desolated, and that's what's happening. Now, notice the three now are going to go exactly the same. But woe to the ones having in womb and to the ones nursing in those days. Mark, woe to the ones having in womb to the ones nursing in those days. Luke, woe to the ones having in womb to the ones nursing in those days. You see how it brings you back exactly alike? All right, now that I'll show you more just a minute. Note this time the three are exactly alike. Now Luke centers on Jerusalem, while Matthew and Mark deal with the flight from the city. So we're making a slight variation here. But the important thing is that Luke is the one that ties us immovably to history. Luke 21:23b. For there will be great necessity over the land, not just at Jerusalem, but over the land, and wrath for this people. In other words, this wrath is on the Jew, and God is getting ready to send them in dispersion. Verse 24, and they will fall by mouth of dagger, and they will, mouth of dagger is very interesting, not the war sword, but dagger. They actually killed each other, assassinated each other. It was horrible. And they will be led captive into all the Gentiles, everywhere. And Jerusalem will be being trodden by nations until season of nations might be fulfilled. And that's our great clue, in our day especially. We have here an anchor point to all of this prophecy, so exact that we ourselves can match the prophecy to history. Not only that, but this prophecy has been fulfilled. Most of those who teach that Jesus could come at any moment do not accept the fact that this prophecy is fulfilled. And this is the key. This is our anchor. Because, you see, at this point, all history, and you're going to see lots of history in just a few minutes, they will be led captive into all the Gentiles. Now, this can't be future. Because if this is still future, and Jerusalem has to be desolated, and they're going into worldwide dispersion, and Jerusalem's going to be occupied by world nations, and that's all future, then we've got century upon century to go, maybe 1,000, 2,000 years to go, because we had 2,000 years this time, we have maybe 4,000 or 5,000 next time. So then you don't have any anchor. You don't have anything at all to say we're even in the last days. We're just sort of in limbo. We don't know what we're doing. No, you can't neglect this, because this is a very emphatic passage and a key verse. Now let's go to the top of 4. No wonder Jesus said in Luke 21:8b, might you not proceed behind them? Apologetics 14, page 9. Once you accept this prophecy as fulfilled, the entire pre-tribulation rapture theory begins to collapse. That's why they don't like this. I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. Let us consider the last part of Luke 21:24 first. It's kind of a little backwards, but let me show you why we know it's fulfilled. And Jerusalem will be being trodden by nations until season of nations might be fulfilled. Now I'm going to explain a periphrastic future, which I've mentioned before, but never have I given you quite enough explanation. So here you are. Will be. That comes, for those of you that are Greek, from estai. It's the third person singular, future indicative of the verb eimi, I am. That's the verb I am. Being trodden is a participle. Patumene. Patumene, you have do in English, I guess. Nominative, singular, feminine participle. Present passive from the verb pateo. Being trodden, to tread, that is. The periphrastic future is formed by using the present participle, which this is, with the future of eimi, expressing durative action in future time. And they are listed in Dana and Manti, and they are important because this is a construction here that is very, very clear. We had a construction like this in Apologetics 14. The Jews continuously hated, if you remember. I mentioned it there. Now, this is how it's formed for those of you that have Greek. Now, those of you that don't care about the Greek, don't worry about that. Just let it go. Take it from my telling you that this is a periphrastic future. It shows continuous action with no interruption in future time. Now, this period of the Gentile trotting began in A.D. 70. Of that, there isn't any doubt at all. That's in every history book. Perhaps a chart will help. Now, if you want a lot of details on this part, then you get my booklet, Times of Gentiles, which I had out in 1970. Now, notice, Rome captured Jerusalem in A.D. 70, and the treading began. Rome held it, and I've given you the years. I don't need to read those to you. You won't remember them anyway. Then came Persia, then the Eastern Empire, then the Saracen Empire, then the Christian Kingdom of Jerusalem, then Egypt, then Germany, then the Chorazmians, then the Turkish Empire, then Great Britain, then Jordan, up till 1967. 12, Israel retakes Jerusalem, June the 7th, 1967, and the trotting of Jerusalem by 11 Gentile nations while the Jews were in dispersion ends, June the 7th, 1967. Now, if you try to do anything other than this, with this, you make Jesus Christ into a lion. And that is serious business. Because Jesus said here in Luke that it would be trodden constantly by Gentile powers without any interruption until while the Jews were in dispersion, until it went back to the Jews. Well, it has done that. Now, anything else makes Christ a liar. You just don't believe the Word of God. And I can't help it if you don't want to. Well, I can tell you what you're doing anyway. Top of page 5. To me, now that we can look back on history, Luke 21:24 is very simple to understand and one of the most remarkable prophecies in Scripture. I want you to be aware of the false teaching developed around this verse to make it fit into the pre-tribulation rapture teaching. And in this Schofield Reference Bible excerpt, I have underlined some things, and the underlining is mine. They're not underlined in Schofield. I want to be as clear, as honest as I can be. Now watch what he says. This is the Schofield Reference Bible to which many people refer for their whole theology. I used to, until I found out, and Schofield was long dead before this happened, so he couldn't figure it out. But you can, so you're without excuse. Verses 20 and 24, he says, are not included in the report of the Olivet Discourse as given by Matthew and Mark. Notice what he's going to tell you. Two sieges of Jerusalem in view in that discourse. Now, that's a lot of problems. That's a vast imagination, doesn't say so. Luke 21, 20, 24 refers to the siege by Titus A.D. 70, and that fact is correct. When the city was taken, and verse 24 literally fulfilled. But verse 24 was not literally fulfilled in A.D. 70. It was only started. It wasn't until 1967 that it was fulfilled. That's important. So that's not a correct statement. But that siege and its horrors, but adumbrate the final siege at the end of this age, in which the great tribulation culminates. Now, you see, if this is only a forerunner, that's what he means by adumbrate, and if this is only a preview that we've seen in the past, then that's going to occur again at the end of the Great Tribulation, which he's got here. I'll talk to you about it in a minute. And it's going to occur again. Now, if it occurs again at that time and they have to go among all nations, don't you see he's saying we haven't finished the trotting down? And that's exactly what he said in the sentence before, that 24 was literally fulfilled as far as he meant into Roman territory, and that's as far as he went. But all that's wrong now. We know that. At that time, the city will be taken, but delivered by the glorious appearing of the Lord. But what good will it do if the rest of verse 24 still has to take place, and they're going to be dispersed among the nations, don't you see? So that doesn't work at all. That isn't anywhere more true than anything you could think of. Now, let's go further. The references in Matthew and Mark are to the final tribulation siege. Well, who says that? Luke 21:20-24, to the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus. Now, see, he's trying to get those separated. In Luke, the sign is the compassing of Jerusalem by armies. That's exactly so, and that's important. And that's because that's going to let them make the flight. In Matthew and Mark, the sign is the abomination in the holy place. He's put the article in, which he can't do. He's referred to 2 Thessalonians 2:4, which is the seating of the Antichrist, but not in the holy place in that verse at all, so that has no connection with it. Now, look at his definition of times of the Gentiles, which is total confusion. Began with the captivity of Judah under Nebuchadnezzar. Nothing says that in Scripture. That's pure imagination. Since which time Jerusalem has been under Gentile overlordship, which is totally false historically. Now, it's one thing to understand prophecy in the light of history. It's another thing to make a fool of yourself and go against history. Now let's go further. Schofield accepts Luke 21:24 as beginning in AD in 70 AD. There's no way to escape that, so he does that well. Secondly, he proceeds to separate the Matthew and Mark records from the Luke record by about 2,000 years for their fulfillment without logical reason. Third, to do this, he defines times of the Gentiles as not the time they continuously possess the city during the absence of the Jews, which is obvious from Luke 21:24, but by a definition which is historically incorrect, which I just showed you, because they didn't possess it constantly. The Jews were there, and the Jews actually were independent of Rome for a while. They threw off the Roman yoke, so that isn't even true. Fourth, he defines the Great Tribulation with his definition. You see apologetics 8, and the definition isn't true. Dr. John R. Rice, another pre-tribulation rapture leader in the Rice Reference Bible, disagrees with Schofield. He not only disagrees, but lived long enough to reject Israel as fulfilling prophecy. So he went much further and is much more to blame. Now, the Rice Reference Bible, printed in 1981, on Luke 21:20, says reference in this verse is to the close of the tribulation after the rapture. And he doesn't even make that age 70. So if that verse is to the close of the tribulation after the rapture, he's got thousands of years of dispersion for the poor Jews yet. When the Antichrist and kings of the east surround Jerusalem to destroy it, since this will be long after the rapture. Well, that's all his invention. That all came out of that 1830 gobbledygook that they invented then, and they've been preaching for 154 years, and none of it's been true. It's not intended as a sign to tell when Christ will come. Well, of course not. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants to go and that Jesus will come at any moment. He doesn't want you to have any anchor. So this, from that passage, is really what I called it, I marked it in mine, Rice's imagination. That's not Scripture. Begin back on page 2, and read the Luke Scripture again. If Rice is correct, the desolation of Jerusalem has not yet occurred. Go back there. Go back to page 2. We've got time to take a minute. Go back to page 2, Luke 21:20. He says it hasn't happened yet. Okay, let's go back there. And it's on page 2. But at the time that you might see the Jerusalem being circled by camps, then you come to know that her desolation has drawn near and is still near. So it hasn't taken place yet, according to this, you see. And they haven't gone into captivity at all. This is totally ridiculous, you see. The flight out of Jerusalem has yet to happen, Luke 21:21. The Jews have not yet been in diaspora, Luke 21:24, which is all contradictory to fact. Page 6. All of this is contradictory to historic fact. Now, read some more. Look what he does next. 21:24. The times of the Gentiles refers to the whole time of Gentile world dominion from the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the death and destruction of the Antichrist. It will end when Christ comes to set up his kingdom. That will be the day of the Lord. Well, this definition of the times of the Gentiles is not only without scripture, but turns Jesus' words into a lie. And that's why he said, don't go after these people. They're leading you astray. They may believe in Jesus as the Messiah. And they say they do, and fine and dandy, that's great. But they will lead you astray. That whole doctrine is mapping a segment of fundamentalism under totally false and erroneous teaching. Note the right comment on Matthew 24:31. Watch what he says next. This foretells the regathering of Israel as prophesied in the Old Testament. It will occur after the tribulation. Well, in a way, that's right. With the right definition of the Great Tribulation, that would be right, but he isn't using it that way. And Christ's personal return. It will be a miraculous and complete collection of every Jew in the world. 3. It will come about when Israel turns with all their hearts to God. Israel will be gathered into the wilderness of the people where all rebels will be purged out. Then Israel will see Jesus and repent and be circumcised in heart. Now he's putting together Old Testament scriptures to suit himself. At that time, all Israel, those left, shall be saved. Now I like that. I made a note for that. You can make a note too. You got a line underneath. That's called a rice addition to scripture. You see, that really is helpful. All Israel, those left. Who said those left? All Israel is all Israel. Where do you get those left? You see, that's what you call a nice addition to scripture. Obviously, look at this. The present nation Israel, established in 1948, is still as unsaved as Christ-rejecting as they were when they were cast out of Palestine for their sins. Therefore, they have not yet experienced the restoration God has foretold. This secular state of Israel has no known relation to Christ's return. Isn't that just great? Now, you're going to see that this just absolutely refutes the whole idea of the birth pains of the state of Israel. The whole idea of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom goes down the drain, and the whole first section we've taken up historically, he now claims is wrong. Well, of course, that's silly. Connect this with a comment on Daniel 9:27. Here's what he says back on Daniel, because he's going back there for the desolation. The dictator-to-be of the restored Roman Empire in the tribulation time will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years that they may restore the Old Testament worship with priests, sacrifices, and temple. This great gap for Israel as a nation will exist from the death of Christ until the Antichrist decree. Today, God has no nation Israel. No temple, no priests, no sacrifices. No temple is right, no priest is right, and no sacrifices is right. But not no nation Israel, serving the true God. The little nation Israel, formed in 1948, is not counted here as Israel, and will not be counted until the Antichrist appears and agrees to the Old Testament worship, sacrifices, and priesthood again. So he says you don't count it as Israel. Well, isn't that nice? From many scriptures, we know that Christ's coming for his saints is imminent. He may come at any moment before these revealed matters from the Antichrist. But the Bible gives no hint as to an exact date. We only know that Christ is bound to come before those other prophesied events occur. And of course, that's just imagination. And that's that whole thing that we're not to follow. And I've already taken you through the proof of that. Let me turn my tape.